بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. So we're all sitting over here. Inshallah, we'll be discussing and talking a little about Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. Amongst the kids, who can tell me what you know about him? Put up your hand. So this can help me.
He was the third Khalifa.
What else?
He was really rich.
Where's your dad?
He was guaranteed Jannah.
Anyone else? Yes.
He was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
So as these kids mentioned, and inshallah we'll start off with this, that he was the third Khalifa of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first Khalifa we already spoke about, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. We spoke about Umar radiallahu anhu. And inshallah, today we'll be speaking about Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. He was the third Khalifa. What does the word Khalifa mean? A person who comes after someone. A person who comes after someone and he takes that person's spot as whatever that position that person was in. So for example, in sports, if there is one defenseman or one forward that gets injured, what do they normally do? They get someone from the Pee Wee League and they bring him up, right? For example, if some player in NHL gets hurt in the Toronto Maple Leafs, they all suck. They all, looks like they're all injured all the time. Ask Brother Hamid, he knows. So if someone from NHL gets hurt, what do? They get someone from the AHL team or some other team, OHL team, and they bring that player up into the NHL. So now this player that comes from the OHL or from the AHL, from the smaller league, what happens? He is now the Khalifa of that player. You see? So he's taking that player's spot. So over here, we have three people so far, or two people that we have discussed, and now we're talking about the third person. Who is taking whose spot? Not an NHL player's spot. Not an NBA player's spot. He's taking the spot of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you can imagine how great this person is, that he is coming in position in place of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's taking his spot. Obviously, we're not putting him on the level of a prophet. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the prophet, but these people who are coming, they are taking the same responsibility that the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam had. So, Khalifa in that sense is a person who takes the spot of another person. And over here, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who took his spot was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And then Umar radiallahu anhu. And then finally came Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, he was also related to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we look at the four Khalifas, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was a very close friend to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Was he related? He wasn't related. Umar radiallahu anhu, he was amongst the Quraysh. So somewhere down the line, he does get connected to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Uthman radiallahu anhu, he was closer than Umar radiallahu anhu. And Ali radiallahu anhu was actually the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so he was the closest. But amongst these four, two of them were the son-in-laws of the Prophet ﷺ, and two of them were the father-in-laws of the Prophet ﷺ. Who are the two which were the father-in-laws? And Umar radiallahu anhu was one. He was the father-in-law of the Prophet ﷺ. Who else? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So both their daughters were married to Rasulullah ﷺ. And the two son-in-laws, Ali radiallahu anhu, he was his daughter, or the Prophet's daughter, which one was married to Ali radiallahu anhu? Anyone? Yes? Fatima radiallahu anhu. Very good. And Uthman radiallahu anhu, he was given a special title. He was given the title of Dhul-Nurayn, the one who possessed two nurs, two lights. Why? Because he was blessed with such a blessing that no one was blessed like this from the time of Nuh alayhi salam, from the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. And that was, he was the only person who a prophet gave two of his daughters, one after another, in marriage, from the time of Nuh alayhi salam. Now Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam, you know, he is much, much, much before Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Ismail alayhi salam, and Ishaq alayhi salam. He was very, very close to Adam alayhi salam, all the way back then. So he was given the title Dhul-Nurayn. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave two of his daughters in marriage to Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. What were the two daughters' names? The first one was? Ruqayya. Second one was? Fatima was married to Ali, the one who was married to Uthman. Ummi Kulthum radiallahu anha. So two of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughters were married to Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. Like as one of them said, that he was also known to be very, very wealthy. That's why another nickname, that wasn't obviously his name, sometimes you'll find that Uthman al-Ghani. Ghani means rich. That wasn't really his name. That wasn't his last name. That was just a title that was given to him. Uthman bin Affan, he was the son of Affan, meaning his father was Affan. Another thing that we know about Uthman radiallahu anhu is that he was kathir al-haya. He had a lot of modesty and a lot of shame. And inshallah, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. Another quality of his was that he was a very, very successful businessman. He was really, really good when it came to doing business. But the quality of his doing business was that he was very straightforward and he was very honest. In order for a person to become a very honest and a very straightforward businessman, today is very difficult. You won't find that. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in one hadith, At-tajir as-saduq al-ameen. A businessman who possesses two qualities. A person who does trade, he does business, he makes money. But he makes money in such a way that he has two qualities. As-saduq al-ameen. He is truthful, he doesn't lie. And al-ameen, he's trustworthy. He doesn't cheat his customers. He doesn't cheat his customers. He tells them straightforward what it is. Two qualities, as-saduq al-ameen. Who is he? Is he a person who's performing salah? Is he a person who's going for hajj? Right? He's not doing that. He's making money. He's making money. He's keeping the money in his pocket. He's not giving it in charity. With that money, if he wants, he can buy a Mercedes. That's up to him. But he has these two qualities. What does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will resurrect this person, a businessman, not a person who was Imam of the Masjid, not a person who was fasting all day, not a person who used to perform salah all night, a businessman. He has his business, he has a shop, you know, he's selling cars. And but he's trustworthy and he's truthful. He tells people when people come to him and they ask him, then what do you say about this car? Is this car good? And he, instead of telling them, you know, the car is really, really good, first he tells them the faults of the car. The car is really good, but you know, the oil leaks a little bit. The car is very good, but the tires need to be changed. The car is very good, the alternator needs to be changed. So there is, he mentions the flaws, he doesn't hide them. Right? When people come to see his cars, so what does he do? He goes early in the morning and he turns on all the cars, because when he turns on the cars in the morning, you know, in this extreme cold, the cars make noise. So he wants to make sure the cars are not making that noise. So he warms up the cars before. But a truthful and a trustworthy businessman, he will turn on the car in front of the customer. He wouldn't warm it up from before. So he's truthful and he's trustworthy. What does he say? مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ. On the day of Qiyamah, this guy who was selling cars, he was busy selling his cars. On the day of Qiyamah, he would be with the prophets. Allah Ta'ala will resurrect him just with the other prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. Imagine, he wasn't even coming to the masjid for his other salah. He wasn't doing any extra ibadah. He was just doing business. That's all he was doing. You know, you have a little store and you're selling basketballs. You're selling sporting equipment. Someone comes to you, I want to buy this ball. I want to buy the best ball that you have, the best basketball. Right? So you have Spalding. What else do you have? Huh? Nike. What else? Reebok. Adidas. They make balls? Basketballs? Okay. So someone comes to you and says to you that I want to buy the best basketball. What you're going to try to do is give him a good basketball, but you want to get the most money. But you're not telling him which one is the best one because you're not getting the most money. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying what? Tell him if he's coming to you that which one is the best basketball, because you're being trustworthy and you're being honest. You're being straightforward. This is who Uthman radiallahu anhu was. That he was truthful and he was trustworthy. He was straightforward. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what does he say? You selling basketballs, you're selling shoes, you would be with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah because of that. Another quality that Uthman radiallahu anhu had, that he was not only wealthy, he was not only successful when it came to business, but a higher quality than that was that he didn't just keep all of his wealth in his pocket. He was very, very generous when it came to spending on people. When it came to spend on people, especially those people who were in need, who were poor, he was very, very generous. He didn't think twice. He didn't think twice before giving. He gave right away. So as far as his daughter Ruqayya, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's daughter, who was the wife of Uthman radiallahu anhu, Ruqayya radiallahu anha, she got married to Uthman radiallahu anhu even before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he became a prophet. Before prophethood. And after becoming a prophet, we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, things were becoming very, very difficult upon Muslims, Sahaba. So he ordered Sahaba to migrate, companions to migrate. So what was the first place that the companions migrated to? The first place, Abyssinia, right? That was the first place. They spent some time over there and they returned back to Mecca. They came back. Thereafter that, they migrated to Medina. So Uthman radiallahu anhu's wife, Ruqayya radiallahu anha, who was the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, migrated with him in both the places, Abyssinia and also Medina. So she was with him in Abyssinia, and at the same time, she was with him when he migrated to Medina. Now when Uthman radiallahu anhu got to Medina. 2 years later, his wife Ruqayya radiallahu anha became very, very ill. She became very sick. And this was the time when the first battle of Islam took place, which was the battle of the battle of Badr. Very good. So while she was sick, Uthman radiallahu anhu also accompanied Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to join the Sahaba in battle. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent him back and he said, Uthman, your excuse, you don't need to come, you go and take care of your wife because she's very, very ill. So as a result, Uthman radiallahu anhu, he went back and he stayed back in Medina and he did not join Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this battle. However, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he informed Uthman radiallahu anhu, even though you did not come with us in battle and you had the intention of coming, you will get the equivalent amount of reward as those who actually participated. And at the same time, you will not only get the equivalent amount of reward, you will get the equivalent amount of the spoils of war that were being distributed afterwards. Even though Uthman radiallahu anhu, he did not join the battle. So anyways, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came back from that battle, and the Sahaba were victorious, you know, a heavy odd on the other side, 1,000 non-believers compared to 313 Sahaba. Imagine, look at the odds. You basically, one person is against three. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back, he was informed that Ruqayya radiallahu anha, his daughter, passed away. Afterwards, Umar radiallahu anhu, he came to Uthman radiallahu anhu. We all know Umar. We all know him very well. We studied about him. You know what type of person he was? Right? Okay. So he comes to Uthman radiallahu anhu. And again, one thing that we learn about Sahaba, one very, very important lesson, that they were very straightforward. They would not hide anything in the back. Umar radiallahu anhu, he came to Uthman and he said, Uthman, your wife passed away. Many weeks and many months have gone by. I have my daughter Hafsa. Why don't you get married to him? Why don't you get married to her? Sorry. So Uthman radiallahu anhu, he remained silent. He didn't say anything. He didn't say yes, he didn't say no. Now one thing that we should keep in mind for the adults is that look who's going to who. Umar, his daughter, is proposing. We, as our cultural background, we think that's wrong. That it has to be the guy who has to propose. What do we learn from Sahaba? It's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. Umar radiallahu anhu, he goes directly to Uthman. He said, look, my daughter is here. You get married to her. He didn't think that it was a little problem. There was no problem. There is no problem. It's perfectly fine. But we have it in our minds that no, it's not okay. The boy, his parents have to propose. If it's the other way around, that means something's wrong with the girl. Something's wrong with us. So Uthman radiallahu anhu, he remained silent. Now when he was quiet, he didn't say yes or no. Umar radiallahu anhu got upset. Hey man, how come he didn't answer? Say yes, say no. So he went and complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet of Allah, you know, I went, I took, and I gave a proposal, my daughter, to Uthman. He didn't say yes, he didn't say no, he remained silent. Prophet of Allah talked to him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told Umar radiallahu anhu, that your daughter, referring to Hafsa radiallahu anha, she will get married to someone better than Uthman. Your daughter, she will get married to someone better than Uthman radiallahu anhu. And Uthman radiallahu anhu, he will get married to someone better than your daughter. Subhanallah. Uthman radiallahu, Uthman, he will get married to someone better than your daughter. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, you know, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, it left me in a puzzle. I didn't know what he was saying. But I accepted, I didn't want to say anything more. This is what he said. I said, okay. Uthman radiallahu anhu, he already knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to propose to Umar radiallahu anhu's daughter. That's why he remained silent. So anyways, afterwards, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the proposal for Umar radiallahu anhu's daughter, Hafsa, that's when Umar radiallahu anhu realized the first portion of the riddle. And he accepted right away. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to Umar radiallahu anhu's daughter. So that way, what happened was, your daughter, Hafsa radiallahu anha, got married to someone better than Uthman. Compare Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Uthman radiallahu anhu. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, I figured out the first portion of the riddle, of the puzzle. But I couldn't figure out the second portion. And where Uthman, he will get married to someone better than my daughter. Who's better than my daughter? So later on, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave his own daughter, Ummi Kulthum radiallahu anha, in marriage to Uthman radiallahu anhu, that's when Umar radiallahu anhu realized, okay, now the riddle is now complete. The puzzle now fits together. It's complete. Why? Because obviously, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughter to my daughter, obviously she's better. And after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that if I even had 40 daughters and all of them had to die one after another, I would give each and every single one of them to Uthman radiallahu anhu. He was known to be a very soft person, a very gentle person, a person with a lot of modesty, a lot of haya, and a lot of shame. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sitting at a garden, in a garden, and he was just relaxing. He was just relaxing in this garden. This garden belonged to some Ansari Sahabi. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had his feet inside the well. There was a well there. So he had his feet inside the well and he dipped his feet inside the well. It had water in it. And he had his legs, he had his pants up a little bit, up to half of his,
Shin.
Right? Underneath, below the knees, but half up to his shin. And he told that Sahabi that, don't let anyone inside unless they take permission. Because I'm just relaxing. You know when you're relaxing, you don't want to see people. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was just relaxing. And he was sitting there. After some time, someone knocked at the door. The Ansari Sahabi asked, who is it? And from the other side, it was said, it's Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The Ansari Sahabi, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, it's Abu Bakr, should I let him in? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came and he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relaxing in that manner and where he had his hands up a little bit. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he also joined the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the same manner because he thought, if I don't do that, remember he was also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's friend. Huh? If I don't do that, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would feel uncomfortable. Right? So look at the adab, look at the character over here. Understand? Subhanallah. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he also sat in the same manner, on the right side of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter, sometime, again there was a knock at the door. This time who was it? It was Umar radiallahu anhu. Again he takes permission, he comes inside. And he sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's sitting there in that manner. Umar radiallahu anhu did the same thing. He saw Abu Bakr is also doing, sitting like that, relaxing. So he also joined. And he also sat down in that manner. Now, one thing before we move on, what we learn is that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he had the choice of sitting beside the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he chose to sit on the right side. What does that tell us? That whenever we do something, we should always do it starting from the right. You know, when we put on our clothes, we always put in our right sleeve. When you put on our shoes, we put on our right shoe first. When we're wearing our jacket, we always put on the right side first. So whenever we even do anything else, we should always start from the right side. We learned this lesson, look over here. So now Umar radiallahu anhu, he came, he saw Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's sitting there. Abu Bakr already took the position of sitting on the right side. So he sat on the left side. After some time, Uthman radiallahu anhu came. He knocked at the door, and when the Sahabi said, "Is Uthman Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" He said, "Let him come in." He let him come in, but because of the modesty of Uthman, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his pants down, and he sat properly. Why? Because Uthman radiallahu anhu was a person of shame and modesty and haya, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew what type of person he was, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went out of his way showing the respect to Uthman radiallahu anhu. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came, he knew that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is okay, no problem. Umar, no problem. But Uthman radiallahu anhu, no. He put his pants down, and obviously when he put it down, Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu anhu did the same. They're all sitting like this now. Because Uthman radiallahu anhu came. Now Uthman radiallahu anhu, when he came, he saw the right side is taken, left side is taken. So he sat in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the muhaddithin rahimahullah, you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them, they said one amazing thing from this incident. They said, you know, the way how these people were sitting, it was determined to happen that's how exactly they passed away. That when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, on his right side is Abu Bakr, left side is Umar, and Uthman, was no space, so they put him in Jannatul Baqi. They put him in the front. And that's exactly how Uthman radiallahu anhu was sitting. You know, if you go to Medina and you visit the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you see Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is on the right side, Uthman is on the left side, Umar radiallahu anhu is on the left side, and Uthman radiallahu anhu, he's not buried over there. Where is he buried? There is a whole graveyard right outside the masjid. And Uthman radiallahu anhu is buried. Many of the Sahaba are buried over there as well. Uthman radiallahu anhu, when he accepted Islam, he was one of the few ones to accept Islam early. And he accepted Islam on the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu made him Muslim. And in fact, when you look at the Ashr al-Mubashara, 10 of those Sahaba who are guaranteed Jannah, Uthman radiallahu anhu is there. Out of the 6 from there, from the 10, 6 of them accepted Islam on the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. We spoke about that when we were talking about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu at that time. But subhanAllah, Uthman radiallahu anhu was also one of those people. When he accepted Islam, his father passed away. His uncle was taking care of him. His name was Hakam bin Al-As. When he found out that Uthman radiallahu anhu accepted Islam, his uncle, he wasn't a Muslim. He did not accept Islam. He got really upset. When he came home, he asked Uthman, "I heard that you accepted Islam and you accepted the faith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is that true?" And he said, "Yes, it's true." So his uncle, Hakam bin Al-As, he tied him up in the house. Tied him with a rope. He said, "You're not allowed to leave this house until you don't turn away from Islam. Until you don't give up becoming a Muslim. I'm not going to let you go." And he tied him up. And Uthman radiallahu anhu stayed tied like this, not for hours, for days. For days. After so many days went by, his uncle, he felt sorry for him. And he said that just turn away. It's okay, just go back to what you were doing before. And Uthman radiallahu anhu, he said, "No. Once I've accepted it, I'm not going to turn back. There is no way I'm going to go back." You know, those people had to go through so much difficulty, right? Just to protect their Islam. Just so that they could be Muslim. Alhamdulillah, we don't have that difficulty. So finally, his uncle, Hakam bin al-As, he let him go. He said, look, he's too stubborn. He's not gonna go away. So he let Uthman radiallahu anhu go. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sitting, and very similar to what I was saying before, but he was sitting in another place, close to, in another garden, and again the same thing happened. And this happened a few times during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he was sitting, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came, Umar radiallahu anhu came, Uthman radiallahu anhu. They came in order, just like that. And you'll find many incidents like this during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave permission for him to come inside, he came inside, and he told that Ansari Sahabi that give Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu the glad tidings of Jannah. That you are going to Jannah. Now who is saying this? Who is saying that? Who is saying that? Everyone sleeping? Who's saying that? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that. So now, if it's coming from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you think that he won't go to Jannah now? Is that going to happen? Is that going to happen? No. He said he's going to Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it. How could that not be? So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu comes inside. Sometime later, Umar radiallahu anhu comes. And again, he says, he gives permission, and he says, also give him the glad tidings that he's also going to Jannah. Uthman radiallahu anhu came, and he took permission, he came inside, and again Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said the same thing, that فَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ, give him the glad tidings of Jannah, but he added something. Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu anhu, he didn't add anything. Uthman radiallahu anhu, he added. And what did he add? He added, and he said, that also let him know that he would be going through some difficulty during his life. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam added that to Uthman radiallahu anhu, that he's going to Jannah, but difficulty is going to occur. And what was that difficulty? Inshallah, we'll talk about that later. Anyways, now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let's move on to a little bit about how generous and his generosity. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was in Medina, there was this well. Now remember, they didn't have, you know, wells were something that were, people really liked to go to. They were like the Tim Hortons of today, to make you understand. You know Tim Hortons, right? Everyone likes to go to Tim Hortons, go 7 o'clock in the morning, huge line. So wells were like that. And there were some wells which were free because it was water, but the good wells which had very fresh water, right? Those were owned by certain people, and you had to actually pay to buy water. So there was this well, and where it was considered to be the best well of Medina. It was considered to be the best well of Medina, and it was known to be Bi'ri Ru'ma. That well still exists today. They have changed the name to Bi'r. Bi'r means well. Bi'rul Jannah, the well of Jannah. For those of us who have been to Medina, this well is close to Masjid Qiblatain. How many of you have been to Medina, seen Masjid Qiblatain? Right? It's close to Masjid Qiblatain. Masjid Qiblatain is that masjid which is known to be the Masjid of two Qiblas. Because when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in that masjid and he was performing salah, as he was performing salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed the ayahs. Which ayahs? Fawalli wajhaka shatri al-masjid al-haram. That turn your face, your direction towards masjid al-haram, towards Kaaba. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, he was still in prayer when this revelation came. So during prayer, while he was in salah, he moved from this side to the other side. So this happened during prayer. So that's why this masjid is known to be, they made a masjid because of that. That the masjid of two qiblas. So anyways, this well still exists today, known as Bi'rul Jannah. This well was owned by a Jew who lived in Medina at that time. And like I said, it was the best well. The best well. Right? The best coffee shop. The best well. In Medina. And people used to pay just to get water from him. From that person. However, the poor ones, the poor people, obviously could not afford. And he wasn't very nice and generous to give them water. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day he made an announcement. Or he didn't make an announcement, rather he just said that I wish someone buys this well and he donates it to the poor people and he keeps it open to the public. Uthman radiallahu anhu was sitting in that gathering. He got up. He didn't say anything. He went straight to that person. And he asked him, tell me, how much are you going to sell it for? Remember, he wasn't selling it. Whenever you have a buyer, when you're not selling something, you can increase the price. Right? Something about business. That when you are not selling something, look, I have this pen. I'm not selling it. But you come to me, yo, this pen looks really nice. How much is it? Now I'm thinking, okay, I'm not selling it, but he wants to buy it. So I bought it for $100. I'll sell it to you for $100. Right? Because you're coming to me. I didn't put it up for sale. So same way, Uthman radiallahu anhu, he went up to that person and he said, tell me, how much are you going to sell this well for? And now he's thinking, it's so expensive, you won't be able to even afford it. Forget it. Uthman radiallahu anhu says, name your price. What's your price? And now he's thinking, I got a good fish today. I'm going to make a lot of money, man. So he says that I will sell this well for 20,000 gold coins. 20,000 gold coins. You know, 20,000 gold coins back in the day? Even today, that's still worth a lot. It's a lot of money. Uthman radiallahu anhu, he didn't even bargain with them. You know, he's saying 20, okay, I'll say 50. No. It was the wish of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You want 20,000 dirhams? Gold coins? Here's 20,000 gold coins. Give me the well. And he bought it right there. He came back to the masjid, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still sitting there. Subhanallah, right away. And he said, Prophet of Allah, I got that well, and I give it to the poor people. Anyone is allowed to use it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he got so happy, and again he gave him the glad tidings of Jannah. This was the second time. The first time was at that time, this is the second time. He gave him the glad tidings of Jannah. And from that time, subhanallah, every person who's drinking water from there, even if you go today and you drink water, the reward is going to Uthman radiallahu anhu. One of the battles known as the Battle of Tabuk. It was one of the greatest battles during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Battle of Tabuk. Why was it so great? Because this battle took place in the 7th year or the 8th year after migration. And up to now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went and Sahaba, they went through a lot of battles. Battle of Badr, Uhud, Hunayn, this, that. But these were all battles and where they were facing local people. Local people, small groups of people. During the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they were two huge superpowers of the world. Who knows? One. Right. The Persian Empire and? Roman Empire. These were two huge empires. They ruled the entire world. So the Prophet ﷺ got this news that the Romans, even though the king of Rome, what's his name? Watching a lot of cartoons and movies. Hercules. He respected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a lot. And some even say that he even accepted Islam privately. Wallahu a'lam if that's true or not. Anyways, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given this news that the Romans are going to attack on Medina. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received this news, he consulted with Sahaba. He asked Sahaba, what should we do? You know, Roman Empire, up to now we've been facing local people, small groups of people, but now we're facing a huge army, one of the greatest superpowers of the world. So Sahaba, they said, you know, Prophet of Allah, you decide whatever you want to do. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that, look, we are not going to show our weakness. We're not going to let them come to us so that we just defend. Rather, we're going to show that we're also strong. So we're not going to let them even come close to Medina. Why should they come and attack Medina? We should go to them. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made this announcement. And normally, when there was a battle, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wouldn't disclose to the Sahaba where they're going and where the battle is taking place. This was the only battle when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually made an announcement. He made an i'lan that we are going to fight the Romans and we're going to meet them at a place called Tabuk. Tabuk was a place outside of Medina, close to where those people were. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he made that announcement, he said, look, this army is huge. We need to fight them. And in order for us to fight them, we need to have a lot of weapons. And we need to be very, very strong. We need to have a lot of food. We need to have a lot of armor. We need to have a lot of animals, whatever. So whatever you people can bring, he was telling Sahaba, whatever you guys can bring, go home and bring whatever you can. It was during this time, the famous incident, and where there was a comparison between Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu. You remember that Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu anhu, he thought, today is my chance to beat Abu Bakr and doing good. So what does he do? He runs home, he rushes home, he comes back, and he brings half of everything that he has in his house, and he brings it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sees all this stuff. Huh? So he gets happy. He said, Umar, what did you leave at home? And Umar radiallahu anhu replied, O Prophet of Allah, I brought half of everything that I had in the house. Imagine, I make an announcement, I need donation. So you go home, you bring half of everything that you have in your house. Your mama won't be too happy with you. So Umar radiallahu anhu was thinking, you know, I want to see what Abu Bakr brings. He's going to bring less than that. He doesn't have the courage to bring half of everything. I bought half of everything I had in the house. And he's waiting. And now he sees Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu coming. He sees all this stuff. And he dumps everything in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet of Allah, this is for getting this group ready. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, what do you leave behind? I left nothing. Cleaned out the whole entire house. Brought everything I had. Only thing I left behind, Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's it. Allah will take care of me. Don't worry about it. Make sure you don't do something like that, huh? Our iman is not on the level of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. We bring everything, drop everything here. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was on a different level. Remember that. Anyways, so now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is getting happy. And now Sahaba are bringing whatever they can. So Uthman radiallahu anhu now comes. And he brings 100 camels. Translate that in today. 100 cars. And top of the line camels. Top of the line cars. BMWs and Mercedes. Parked right outside. Prophet of Allah, all of them for this. And not only the cars, not only the camels, but they are loaded with gold and silver. Loaded with gold and silver on top. Huh? BMW, Mercedes, full with gold and silver. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gets happy. And he makes dua for Uthman radiallahu anhu. Uthman radiallahu anhu, he sees what other people bring. And again, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes an announcement, who can bring more? Because we're still short. This time Uthman radiallahu anhu goes back. And you would think, you know, he already brought 100, he would bring less. He brought 200 this time. He brought 200 camels full of gold and silver. And he gives it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Total, he has brought 300 now. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gets so happy. And again, he makes dua for Uthman radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gets happy. But then when he sees all this stuff compared to the amount of people, the amount of sahaba who have to go, Uthman radiallahu anhu, he senses that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still a little bit worried. Even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam this time didn't make announcement, but Uthman radiallahu anhu, subhanallah, his closeness with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was such that he could tell that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still a little bit worried. So without saying anything, this time he goes home and he brings 1,000 camels. Full of stuff. Drops it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has this big smile. Obviously it wasn't for him. It was for this group of people. And then he said, you know what he said? He did not only give him Jannah, guaranteed him Jannah. He said, from today, Uthman can do whatever he wants. Don't worry about it. You're going straight to Jannah. You can do whatever you want. Can we say that about ourselves? But it's funny, we act like that. We do whatever we want, we think we're getting Jannah. But this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said about Uthman radiallahu anhu. That Uthman, you do whatever you want. You're good to go. We'll do one or two more incidents, inshallah, we'll wrap up for today's session. Last one. Once Ali radiallahu anhu, he bought 2 camels. Now remember, let's go back a little bit. I know our heads are high, 100 camels, 200,000 camels, gold coins. So now we're talking about Ali radiallahu anhu. Okay? So he bought 2 camels. And he bought those two, he saved up a lot of money. He wasn't obviously as wealthy as Uthman radiallahu anhu. So he saved up all this money, he bought 2 camels. He worked really, really, really hard. And he bought these 2 camels. And he bought these 2 camels with the idea that he's going to sell one of them, keep one of them. And with that money that he gets, he was going to get married. Ali radiallahu anhu, as he bought these camels from the store, and he goes home, and he leaves the camel. You don't bring the camels inside your house, do you? No, he left them outside. He tied them up. After some time, he comes out of his house. And what does he see? He sees that his uncle Hamza radiallahu anhu, remember Hamza radiallahu anhu was also the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they were cousins, Ali and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Hamza radiallahu anhu, he was under intoxicants. He was drunk. At that time, alcohol was still permissible. So Hamza radiallahu anhu, since he was intoxicated, he didn't know what he was doing. So what did he do? He took Ali radiallahu anhu's 2 camels and he slaughtered them and he started to make barbecue out of them. And he called a group of people and they made this fire and they're making kebabs out of Ali radiallahu anhu's 2 camels. Ali radiallahu anhu, he opens the door. Where are my camels? Hamza said, I took them, I'm making kebab, you want? You want them? And now Ali radiallahu anhu, what should I do? This was my life savings. People are eating them. He went straight to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet of Allah, you know Hamza, he's your uncle, he's my uncle. Look what he did. He took 2 of my camels and he's having a party over here. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came to Hamza radiallahu anhu to talk to him. But remember, he was drunk, he was intoxicated. So Hamza radiallahu anhu, he was sitting and enjoying and everyone was having fun. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to talk to Hamza radiallahu anhu, remember, he was intoxicated. So he looked at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like this, who are you? I don't know who you are. Why are you talking to me? He didn't realize there was a Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to Ali, sorry, I can't do anything. I can't talk to him. He doesn't even know who I am. So anyways, Ali radiallahu anhu was crying, he was upset, and Uthman radiallahu anhu went by. As he was going by, he saw this was a huge party, he was also invited. So he came and started joining the meal. But he saw Ali radiallahu anhu was crying over there in the corner. So he went to Ali radiallahu anhu. Ali, what's wrong with you? How come you're not joining the party? And Ali radiallahu anhu said, this party is my life savings. This is all I had. And he said, you know, I had all this in mind. I was gonna keep one, I was gonna sell it, and I was gonna save up some money so I can get married. So Ali Uthman radiallahu anhu, he looks at Ali radiallahu anhu's face and he says, don't worry about nothing. You get married, I'll take care of all your expenses. Everything is covered by me. Don't worry about nothing. This was the generosity of Uthman radiallahu anhu. Like I said, a few things that we learned in today's session. Number one was how generous he was when it comes to giving. When it comes to giving for the sake of Allah, we shouldn't hold back. But obviously as youngsters, we need to take permission from our parents. But at the same time, as parents, we should not stop our kids from giving in a good cause. You know, and I've been told the youngsters before, and I'll tell you guys again, and this is for the adults, that keep a little box inside your house and inside your room. And where every day you put something in there. And encourage your children to do the same. So they get in the habit of giving for the sake of Allah. Whether it be for donation or whether it be as a sadaqah. Whether it could be a sadaqah. And subhanAllah, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so much in this part of the world that we don't really understand and value what Allah has given us. We should really, really, and I do this with my own children, that we, you know, we show them pictures and of people and kids who don't have anything. Show them the fact of appreciating and showing them the quality of gratitude of what Allah has given them. SubhanAllah, you know, you guys come downstairs and you ask your mama, what's for breakfast? What's for breakfast? So your mom says, cereal. So you open the pantry and you see 6 different types of cereals. Fruit Loops and Frosted Flakes and Honey Nut Cheerios and whatever you guys eat. And next day, you ask your mama, what's for breakfast? Cereal. Cereal again? I just had cereal. I want pancakes. I want eggs. Isn't it? Those children, they don't even get breakfast, they don't get lunch, they don't get dinner, they starve to death. So we should make it a point. What we learned from Uthman radiallahu anhu's story, from at least from today, is generosity, to give towards those people. Number one. Number two, haya. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Al-haya shu'batu min al-iman. That modesty, shame, it is a big portion of one's iman. If a person doesn't have this, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, فَفْعَلُوا مَا شِئْ, that do whatever you want. If you don't have modesty, you don't have haya, you know, you don't have the shame, you feel that, you know, you can put an earring in your ear and you can walk around with your pants down and your boxers are showing and it's all good. You know, I went to New York a couple of months ago, walked into this store, it's like a Shopper's Drug Mart called Rite Aid. Rite Aid. Yeah, you guys have been to the States? So they had a sign, New York City, Brooklyn. They had a sign outside. It says, please keep your pants up. We don't want to see your underwear. The sign was, I'm telling you exactly what the sign said. فَفْعَلُوا مَا شِئْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, do whatever you want. If you don't have haya, then you don't have iman. So haya is a big portion of our iman. And the third thing that we learn about Uthman radiallahu anhu, that subhanAllah, you know, there's so many things that we learn about him, but again, as far as when it came to doing business, and when it came to doing trade, he was very truthful, and he was very trustworthy. There was no one after when Uthman radiallahu anhu sold a product, that a person came back and he said, you cheated me. If there was something wrong in it, he would tell them straightforward. You know, similarly, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he was also, you know, he was a great scholar, and most of us follow his way when it comes to fiqh. He was also a businessman. And remember, to do business, it's sunnah. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it himself. So if you do business with that in mind, inshallah, not only do you make money, you also get reward. You also get reward. So once, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he used to sell clothes. He used to sell unstitched clothes. You know the clothes that are wrapped up, the rolls of cloth? So he used to sell that. A person once came to him and he said that, "I want to purchase that one up there. I want to buy that whole roll." So Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he said, no, you don't want to buy that one. He says, "Why? I really like that one." He said, "No, because I have checked it, and when I unrolled it, there was a little mark. There was a little mark over there. But if you buy this one, it doesn't have the mark. I unrolled the whole." What they used to do, you know, when you buy something in package, it's packaged. You sell it. Look, it's packaged. Well, they used to open the package and they used to check for the customer to make sure there's nothing wrong. And then they used to seal it up. You know, when you buy something from the store, it comes sealed. They don't check it. And now if you open it and it's broken, and you take it back to them, they're not going to accept it. They're going to say, "You broke it." So he used to unroll all of the clothes, used to check it, make sure there's nothing wrong, and then roll it back and put it back in package and sealing. And people used to trust them. So when he said that there's this mark, he said, "I want to buy that because of you being truthful." And he bought that one. Imam Hanifa insisted, no, don't buy this one. He said, "No, I want to buy this one." And then Imam Hanifa rahimullah, he said that, "Look, the choice is yours, but on the day of Qiyamah, Allah, I don't want Allah Ta'ala to punish me. That's why I'm leaving it up to you now." Truthful and trustworthiness. And what I was saying about, you know, Uthman radiallahu anhu giving to Ali radiallahu, you know, told him that, "Don't worry about it, I'll take care of all of your expenses." Uthman radiallahu anhu, not only did he do that because, you know, to help out his Muslim brother, but he also had the intention of helping out the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, when you have this in mind, that whoever is part of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if he helped them, you know, he started this sunnah of helping and taking care of them. That's why when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, he didn't leave anything behind. He didn't leave any inheritance. He didn't have no money, no wealth. Right? Prophets don't leave behind this. So he had some wives and he had children. Who took care of them? The Sahaba did. And they made it this point because they learned this from Uthman radiallahu anhu. That he started to take care of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's family during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, this reminds me of one small little story. Inshallah, we'll end with this. There was a great scholar. His name was Junayd al-Baghdadi radiallahu rahmatullahi alayhi. Who ever heard of his name? Junayd al-Baghdadi. You know, he was a boxer. He was a professional boxer. And he was really, really good. He had the greatest title, like Mike Tyson. He had the greatest title. No one could defeat Junayd al-Baghdadi when it came to boxing. He was the best. He would knock out his opponents, first round, second round. No one went beyond him on the third round. By the third round, the guy's knocked out or he's dead. Knocked out. Complete knockout. So one day, this man, he was very old. He comes into the ring and he says, "I want to box Junayd." This guy can hardly walk properly. So everyone is laughing. "What are you going to do, man? If you can do that, that's more than enough. You're going to box Junayd rahmatullahi alayhi? He's the best boxer." Then he said, "No, I want to box him." So finally, Junayd rahmatullahi alayhi, he agreed. Now this is before he became a famous scholar and he became so pious and whatnot. When they both agreed and they were in the ring, right, together, and the box match was just about to start, the old man, he said something to Junaid rahmatullahi alayhi in his ear. Just before the boxing match started, what did he say? He whispered in Junaid rahmatullahi alayhi's ear that, look, I am from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we don't have anything to eat. So if you let me win this match, I can get some money so I can feed my family. And Junaid rahmatullahi alayhi, you know, he let him win that boxing match. People were astonished. We're going crazy. How could this happen? He got knocked out 3 times on the floor. And eventually that old man, he won the match and he got whatever the amount of money the winner gets. Subhanallah, that same night, Junaid rahmatullahi alayhi, he sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his dream. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says to Junaid rahmatullahi alayhi, that طَيَّتَ إِسْمِنَا وَطَيِّبَنَّكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, that you have kept the status of my family alive. As a result, Allah will keep your status alive in this world and in the hereafter. That's why we know him as Junaid al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi, as the great scholar, not as the great boxer, because it was the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if we take care of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's tremendous reward in that as well. There's a lot of lessons, inshallah, that we have spoke about. Let's put that into practice. And inshallah, there's a little bit more that we'll inshallah discuss next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability of practicing upon whatever we have heard today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability of putting these qualities of Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in into our lives. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. We'll just take 5 minutes only, quickly, for anyone has any questions, and inshallah we can move on.
You said that there is that Usman is on the left side and that Abu Bakr is on the right side of Hazrat Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I think you before, maybe I misunderstand you, that Isa is going to be on the one side of Hazrat Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
The question is in regards to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being inside his grave. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he's there, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is on his right, and Umar radiallahu anhu is on his left. Umar radiallahu anhu is on his left by a little bit back, so there is still space, one more space over there for Isa alaihi salatu wasallam.
Regarding Hazrat Usman's age, was he older, younger than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
He was much younger than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was much younger. He was at the same age as Umar radiallahu anhu. He was about, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he became a prophet at the age of 40, Uthman radiallahu anhu was around 26, 27 at that time.
Title Ghani was given because of his generosity.
Of his generosity. Okay, I don't think anyone wants to ask questions. That's fine. So inshallah we'll continue with this session inshallah next week. After Salat al-Isha. Ah.